We're going to Gaza next, 3 months after a ceasefire in Israel's war on the occupied territory, which killed almost 45,000 Palestinians and displaced almost everyone who lives there. Local health officials say that over 400 people have been killed in Israeli attacks since the ceasefire, 14 over the past day, according to Al Jazeera, including 5 children. James Elder is global spokesperson for UN children's charity UNICEF. He spent a lot of time in Gaza over the past 3 years. He's currently in Al-Mawasi. James, good morning, and thank you for speaking to us again today.
Gavin, good morning.
Tell us about conditions where you are this morning.
Oh, Gavin, today is wet, it's cold, it's blowing a gale. I went out at daybreak just to see the conditions of the tents. You know, you've got almost a million people in tents. And honestly, just to feel the cold and the rain, because that's what too many children in tents are feeling right now as you and I speak. I think if we look, as you said there, Gavin, 3 months, so a ceasefire, we should look at what does a day then look like for a child during a ceasefire? And I think that everyone would agree that they should be able to, I don't know, sleep safely, get a warm drink and wait to a shower, some breakfast, head off to school. And right now we've probably got 2 of those at most for children, of those 5 things, you know. So what is that 3 month story? Yes, it is safer. There is more food, but there are denials, the prices. As a headmistress said to me yesterday, Gavin, you know, she said, it feels like not a war, but wars, a war against winter, a war against prices, and still a war from the sky, as you say.
Let's stay with some of those conditions that you described. Is there enough food?
Look, there is definitely much, much more food. There is no doubt that. But again, the prices are astronomical for people. The vast majority, you know, almost everyone has lost their job. So the ability, you still have people explaining that, you know, they go window shopping for food. So, you know, we've seen great improvements. We don't no longer have a famine. Obviously, that's good news. November, I think, Gavin, was the first time where, you know, you could talk about in a technical term, the minimum food basket for a child being available. But what that says as well is that it was never a logistical issue. The idea that a famine was always a political man-made decision, it just shows how easy it is if there is that political will. But of course, for a child born 2 years ago, they've lived 2 years with deprivations, and that first 2 years of a child's life is critically important. So there's a huge amount of catch-up that needs to be done. And of course, a lack of food and a lack of nutrition, which is still very, very real right now, we still have a lot of malnutrition, goes hand in hand with the rain and the wet and the cold and the lack of sanitation because of the insane amount of devastation done to water and sanitation systems.
Is school possible?
Yes, it is. Not to the levels we want, Gavin, but absolutely. I've spent a lot of time in what UNICEF calls temporary learning spaces. We've got more than 100,000 kids in those. It's pretty special, to be honest. I mean, because, of course, for Palestinians, education is not just about catching up on lost learning. It's everything. It's their future. It's dignity. It's identity. It's how do they get a future beyond survival. But I sit and I talk to, you know, Palestinian 14-year-olds who are pretty much fluent in English, and they're sitting 3 to a desk with no supplies. So we want 700,000 kids in school. We want 300,000 preschoolers. This is absolutely UNICEF's goal. But let's be clear, the challenges, a lot of them are infuriatingly easy to fix, Gavin. It's supplies. Again, we've been asking for months for the basics to enter Gaza, and they've not been allowed in. And I'm talking basics, paper, notebooks, pens, erasers and so on. Same for mental health and psychosocial support for traumatized kids, simple toys and materials. So we know what to do. And yesterday, as I say, when I was at this school, Gavin, they do different sittings. So on one hand, I'm talking to these teenagers, then there, it's 1 o'clock, and then hundreds, it's like a rainbow of kids, hundreds of sort of 7 or 8 year old children come bolting in. And it's a beautiful scene, but I know for every one of them, there's 5 who aren't in a classroom and they need to be in a classroom.
Is the ceasefire holding at all, James?
I mean, that's a good question. How do we describe this ceasefire? Reduced intensity of attacks, massively reduced, of course, equates to reduced suffering. But Palestinian children here, they keep facing violence, Gavin. There's no doubt the pace of killing has slowed, but it hasn't stopped. I think we're now more than 80 children killed since the ceasefire began. That's 1 a day. Now, that when that no longer makes headlines, it tells us how far the bar has fallen. So it's unimaginably hard, and it's very strange. I was, as I said, when I was walking around tents this morning, you could hear explosions, and I'm thinking, this is a ceasefire. You know, so it's unimaginably difficult, and we have these challenges layered upon one another. But I have to say, having been back here now for the first time since literally the day of the ceasefire, Gavin, I'm in awe of what my UNICEF colleagues have been able to do despite all those things I mentioned. I mean, we've re-established primary health care and immunisation, 70 nutrition facilities. As I said, it's raining and bitterly cold today, but we started preparations for winter many months ago, and in a large way, honestly, thanks to, you know, people like your generous listeners. So a million thermal blankets we got to children, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of winter clothes, and then so much of the recovery is on the back of Palestinians. You know, we've done these most incredible repairs to water pipelines, pumping stations, sewage networks, which always sound, you know, a bit technical, but every sector relies on that. And that's all, Gavin, been on the back of like Palestinian ingenuity, much more than parts, which Israel keeps banning.
James, thanks for speaking to us again. That's James Elder, Global Spokesperson for UN Children's Charity UNICEF, speaking to us from Al-Mawasi in Gaza this morning. We'll have news headlines next.